The History of Wedding Customs, Part 1, Marriage Customs Themselves and Wedding Ring. Now, among the German Goths, around 200 AD, a man married a woman from within his own community. When women were in short supply, he captured his bride-to-be from a neighboring village. The future bridegroom, accompanied by a male companion, seized any young girl who had strayed from the safety of her parental home. Our custom of a best man is a relic of this two-man, strong-arm tactic. For such an important task, only the best man would do. From this practice of abduction, which literally swept the bride off her feet, also sprang this later symbolic act of carrying the bride over the threshold to her new home. A best man around 200 AD carried more than a ring, since there remained the real threat of a bride's family attempting to forcibly gain her return. The best man stayed by the groom's side throughout the marriage ceremony, alert and armed. He might also serve as a sentry outside the newlywed's home. Of course, much of this is German folklore, but it's not without written documentation and physical artifacts. For instance, the threat of a recapture of a bride's family was perceived as so genuine that beneath the church altars of many early peoples, including the Huns, the Goths, the Visigoths, and the Vandals, lay an arsenal of clubs, knives, and spears. The tradition that a bride stand on the left of the groom was also a room that had more than meaningless etiquette. Among northern European barbarians, so named by the Romans, a groom placed his captured bride on his left to protect her, freeing his right hand, the sword hand, against sudden attack. Now, the origin of the wedding ring, now that goes back 2800 BCE in Egypt, and its origin and significance is much disputed. One school of thought maintains that the modern ring is symbolic of the fetters used by barbarians to tether a bride to her captor's home. If that's true, then today's double ring ceremonies fittingly express the newfound equality of the sexes. The other school of thought focuses on the first actual bands exchanged in a marriage ceremony. A finger ring was used in the 3rd dynasty of the Old Kingdom of Egypt, around 2800 BCE. To the Egyptians, a circle, having no beginning or end, signified eternity, for which marriage was binding. Rings of gold were the most highly valued by wealthy Egyptians and later Romans. Among numerous 2,000-year-old rings unearthed at the site of Pompeii is one with a unique design that would become popular throughout Europe centuries later, and in America during the flower child era of the 60s and the 70s. That extant gold marriage ring, type now called a friendship ring, has two carved hands clasped in a handshake. There is evidence that young Roman men of moderate financial means often went broke for their future brides. Tertullian, a Christian priest writing in the 2nd century AD, observed that most women know nothing of gold except the single marriage ring placed on one finger. In public, the average Roman housewife proudly wore her gold band, but at home, she wore a ring of iron. In early centuries, a ring design often conveyed meaning. Several surviving Roman bands bear a miniature key welded on one side. Note that the key sentimentally suggests a bride had unlocked her husband's heart. Rather, in accordance with Roman law, it symbolized a central tenet of the marriage contract, that a wife was entitled to half her husband's wealth, and that she could, at will, help herself to a bag of grain, a roll of linen, or whatever rested in his storehouse. 2 millennia would drag on before civil attitude would reemerge. Now we look at the diamond engagement ring. A Venetian document dated 1503 lists, quote, one marrying ring having diamond, end of quote. The gold wedding ring of one Mary of Modena was among the early betrothal rings that feature a diamond setting. They began a tradition that probably is forever. The Venetians were the first to discover that the diamond is one of the hardest, most enduring substances in nature, and that fine cutting and polishing releases its brilliance. Diamonds set in bands of silver and gold became popular for betrothal rings among wealthy Venetians toward the close of the 15th century, that would be the late 1400s. Rarity and cost limited their rapid proliferation throughout Europe, but their intrinsic appeal guaranteed them a future. In the 17th century, the diamond ring had become the most popular, sought-after statement of a European engagement. One of history's early diamond engagement rings was also the smallest, worn by a 2-year-old bride-to-be. The ring was fashioned for the betrothal of Princess Mary, daughter of Henry VIII, to the Dauphin in France, son of King Francis I. Born on February the 28th, 1518, the Dauphin was immediately engaged as a matter of state policy to assure a more intimate alliance between England and France. Infant Mary was presented with the veriest vogue and rings, which doubtlessly fit the tiny royal finger, but only for a short time. Though the origin of the diamond engagement ring is known, that of the betrothal ring is generally less certain. The practice began probably well before the 15th century. As early Anglo-Saxon custom required that a prospective bridegroom break some highly valued personal belonging, half the token was kept by the groom and half by the father of the bride. A wealthy man was expected to split a piece of gold or silver. Exactly when the broken piece of metal was symbolically replaced by a ring is uncertain. The weight of historical evidence seems to indicate that betrothal rings, at least among European peoples, existed before wedding rings, and that the ring a bride received at the time of proposal was simply given to her again during the wedding ceremony. Etymologists find one accurate description of the engagement ring's intent in the original Roman name, are, meaning earnest money. For Roman Catholics, the engagement ring officially is the introduction unequivocal. In AD 860, Pope Nicholas I decreed that an engagement ring become a required statement of nuptial intent. An uncompromising defender of the sanctity of marriage, Nicholas once excommunicated two archbishops who had been involved with the marriage, divorce, and remarriage of Lothar II of Lorraine, charging them with conniving at bigamy. For Nicholas, a ring of just any material or worth would not suffice. The engagement ring was to be a valued metal, preferably gold, for which the husband-to-be represented a financial sacrifice, thus starting a tradition. In that century, two other customs were established: forfeiture of the ring by a man who reneged on a marriage pledge, and surrender of the ring by a woman who broke off the engagement. The church became unbending regarding the seriousness of a marriage promise and punishment if broken. The Council of Elvira condemned the parents of a man who terminated an engagement to excommunication for 3 years. And if a woman backed out for reasons unacceptable to the church, her parish priest had the authority to order her into a nunnery for life. The ring finger, our last custom for today. The early Hebrews placed the wedding ring on the index finger. In India, nuptial rings were worn on the thumb. The Western custom of placing a wedding ring on the third finger, not counting the thumb, began with the Greeks through carelessness in cataloging human anatomy. Greek physicians in the 3rd century BCE believed that a certain vein, the vein of love, ran from the third finger directly to the heart. It became the logical digit to carry a ring symbolizing an affair of the heart. The Romans, plagiarizing Greek anatomy charts, adopted the ring practice unquestioningly. They did attempt to clear up the ambiguity surrounding exactly what finger constituted the third, introducing the phrase, the finger next to the least. This also became the Roman physician's healing finger, used to stir mixtures of drugs. Since the finger's vein supposedly ran to the heart, any potentially toxic concoction would be readily recognized by a doctor in his heart before being administered to a patient. The Christians continued the ring practice, but worked their way across the hand to the vein of love. A groom first placed the ring on the top of the bride's index finger with the words, "In the name of the Father." Then, praying in the name of the Son, he moved the ring to her middle finger. And finally, concluding with the words, "And of the Holy Spirit," moving it to the third finger. This is simply known as the Trinitarian formula. Now, in the East, people in India and other areas did not actually approve of finger rings, believing them merely ornamental, lacking social symbolism or religious significance. So there's some interesting backgrounds to some customs that we have. We'll be looking at the wedding cake and throwing shoes at a bride and the honeymoon and the wedding march next time. And then we'll be looking at divorce and white wedding dresses and other things the time after that. Now, the sources for this: Panati's Extraordinary Origins of Everyday Things. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.